Welcome to the Lost Stop podcast and the fourth edition of the Trans-Pyrenees race, supported by our race partners, Pedaled, Tailfin, Komoot, and Peak Design. It's day one at TPR number four, and in Girona's early morning gloom, around 100 riders are getting ready for the grand depart. They'll soon leave the city to each begin their own unique, epic adventure through the daunting, beautiful landscape of the Pyrenees Mountains. Race reporter Tom Probert is at the start line to soak up the atmosphere and speak to some of our riders.
Good morning, Tom here. It's 6:30 in Girona and it's the start of the race. The riders are just arriving at the start here at the pavilion. About half an hour's time, they'll set off into the darkness. It's dark here, the stars are out in the completely clear sky, so that bodes well for the riders for the start of the race. It should be a nice dry and sunny one when the sun eventually comes up. And as more and more riders emerge from completely different directions and converging on the start here, everyone's huddling around at the kind of plaza out the front of the pavilion in little groups, and there's a kind of hushed murmur of excitement and nervous anticipation.
Previous editions of the Trans-Pyrenees race have seen the riders set off in a staggered start. This year, they will all leave together, escorted out of the city in a neutralised procession that leads to the start parcours. From there, they are on their own, free to choose their own route east towards Parcours 1. Tom catches up with Ben Wormald, Cap 29.
How are you feeling, Ben? You're wolfing down some kind of pastry here.
Yeah, I got some sweet pan au chocolat type thing. It's going down all right. Probably bought a bit too much food to start line, to be honest with you, but yeah, it's all right. I'm feeling pretty good, slept pretty well. So yeah, all right.
Nice. Could you just describe the scene around us here?
So it's pitch black at the minute. There's about 100 cyclists, all waiting apprehensively, some more quiet than others. Some people eating, some people not. Lots of photos been taken, lots of chats been had. I'm just sitting here, not really doing very much, really, which is kind of what I want to do.
How do you normally feel at the start line of these things? Is this a fun part of the race for you, or are you just kind of just want to get going now?
I like the atmosphere. I like just doing my own little thing as well. So yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's mixed, I suppose.
At this point, after months of preparation, riders are really just ready to start cycling. Caroline Buckland, Cap 34.
I'm ready to get going now. It's always the pre-nerves, just want to get on your bike, get into your own rhythm, let the guys overtake you and settle in, and then I'll start enjoying it. Yeah.
How was the trip to the start line?
All right, actually. I had a bit more time this year to practice, prep, have a little bit more time over the last 2 days once I arrived here to just get everything on the bike, get ready and stuff. Nice. Normally it's a mad rush, so.
What are you looking forward to at the moment?
I'm probably looking forward to, there's a gravel section and it's going to be, I think, late tomorrow. And it's predominantly downhill, but it looks like really good fun. And I can try out my new hiker bike rucksack and see if that actually works.
Nice, yeah, let us know.
Yeah,
review impending.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't work.
One of many returning riders at TPR number four is Sam Doody, Cap 46.
How are you feeling?
I'm all right, actually. Pretty good. I'd say the most relaxed I've ever been for an event like this.
Yeah.
But it is my third year back here, so I'm quite familiar.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm excited.
What are you looking forward to coming back?
Just being in the mountains, really. Being back in the Pyrenees. It's definitely one of the most stunning mountain ranges I've ever ridden in. So yeah, excited to be back. As I said to you yesterday, I've had a bit of a cold for the last week. So I had a really good sleep last night. So I think I'm just about over it, but we'll soon find out.
Yeah.
But yeah, excited to get going.
In terms of route, are you going to go off-road, or are you going to?
Yeah, mostly off-road, actually, where I can. That's what I learned last year on the Trans-Pyrenees. I went for the road routes round, the longer road routes round. Mm-hmm. And I kind of realised halfway through, I don't actually mind a little hiker bike through the mountains. If anything, it's a bit of a break.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we'll see about the hike of a Bielsa, but Yeah, so taking the shorter off-road routes, I've got 35mm tyres, mm-hmm. so a bit of gravel riding in there as well.
Apart from the challenge of climbing around 40,000 metres over almost 2,000 kilometres, riders will often face mechanical and technical troubles out on the road. But Sophia Atwood-Appley, Cap 63, is having to deal with kit issues before the race has even begun.
My dynamo is not working. So the charging's working, but the light's not working. So this has been kind of happening on and off since I landed in Barcelona. So I thought it was fine, but it's not. But at least it's the charging that's working and not the light. Because I'd rather it be that way around. Yeah.
Because you've always got a backup light anyway.
Well, you can buy a light. You can't buy unlimited power.
It doesn't seem to have thrown you too much. You still seem fairly composed.
Well, I never trusted it anyway, to be honest.
And how are you feeling in general now that you're standing here on the start line?
Well, I'm excited now. I'm pretty chill, to be honest, apart from the dynamo thing. But at least that's given me like a focal point to worry about, you know? Like, if everything had gone really smoothly, it would just be like general unknown concern. But now it's like all my energy is directed at why is my dynamo broken?
Nice one. And have you got any kind of plan for the day, or are you just going to ride?
Well, I've got my spreadsheet, so I'm just going to follow that and as much as possible, and see how it goes.
As a previous winner of the Transcontinental Race, Fiona Kolbinger, cap number 4, commands the respect of the entire field. Most people expect her to be both one of the fastest women in the race, and indeed, one of the fastest riders overall.
How was last night? Good preparation?
I honestly had to finish some work, so I worked until 11 p.m. or so, and sent the last emails, and closed the laptop.
The consummate professional. Does that help in a way to just not kind of think too much about the race and kind of
it
focus on something else?
It definitely helped to finish things before starting, right? If I had like half finished stuff, then that would have stayed in my head during the race. But now, you know, like I planned to wrap everything up yesterday. I did. Took me a bit of my sleep, but
at least now you're focused and
and
you can just. Yeah, let go and get immersed in the race, right?
Yeah, and now I hope I can just enjoy the beautiful countryside and the landscape. Looking forward to that for sure.
In contrast to Fiona's experience, Esther Lloyd, Cap 68, is at TPR as a self-described newbie to ultra-distance racing.
Morning, Esther. How you doing? Feeling okay?
Define okay in this situation. No, nervous wreck.
Yeah.
But I read recently somewhere you get the same feeling with excitement and nerves. So I'm hopefully just like super, really amazingly excited.
It's the same thing. It depends same how you
thing.
Frame it, right?
Yep.
So you're just stoked.
I'm absolutely stoked. No, I'm actually chuffed to be here. Like, it was my first goal just to be at the start line. So I'm super, super excited. Every kilometre after is a bonus.
As the clock strikes 7 in Girona, our riders are led from the start line and the race finally gets underway. A scattergraph of red and white lights moving together through the city streets. Tom is in control car 1 with Hannah Larbalestier, race director at TPR number 4.
So the race is underway. We've left Girona now. How was it? How did the morning go?
Yeah, it was all pretty smooth. We had a police escort from the start to the edge of Girona, so that was really helpful. We had police blocking all of the entrances to roundabouts and making sure that we had a safe exit through there. And then we led the riders out on the start parcours up towards Canet d'Adri. And from here, we've seen a little split in the field. So my car, control car 1, have headed off on on this gravel sector. I've just got a mosquito buzzing around me. we've headed out on this gravel sector underneath Rocca Corba, which we've seen maybe around 10 riders going along. But the majority of the field have stayed on the road and headed off just to the south of the start parkour before looping north again.
It doesn't take long before our riders are faced with their first cols, their first mountain passes of the race. the team in Control Car 1 run into Rob McRitchie, Cat 61, an experienced rider who just a couple of hours in is already feeling the wrath of the Pyrenees.
So you've been a bit surprised by the start and how you're feeling then?
I knew it was going to be bad from my fitness level. So, you know, I either go on or I don't. And, you know, I'll have a quick look at my map. I know where I can crash if I need to. So, you know, I'm not going to get there. I'm not going to get round in the time. I know that. Okay. So, you know, I'll have fun, get as far as I can. And if I drop today, I drop today. If it's tomorrow, it's tomorrow. It's whenever it's going to be. But, you know, yeah, I'm not in a... I knew I'm not in the right fitness level for this. So, you know, I know where I need to be and I'm nowhere near it. So, yeah. You know, I've done Transcon twice. I know the deal. This is harder. This is way harder. This is like, Brenner Pass. And this is just a little hillock, you know. And the Brenner Pass is, you know, through the Alps. And, oh, yeah, this is hard.
Laurent Pietrzyk, Cap 26, is another rider to become quickly aware of the challenge ahead.
It's coming better and better, but it was difficult this morning.
Yeah. What was difficult?
I don't know. I bought my feeling again. So not about the track, but my feeling, personal feeling. Yeah.
And are you feeling yourself starting to warm up to it? The legs are starting to warm up?
Exactly. It's what I need. I need... maybe one day before to warm up, I mean, to get better, yeah.
And were you expecting that or has that come as a surprise?
No, it's not a surprise. It's already like that for me, so.
But have you been enjoying the scenery and the weather?
Cross finger, let's stay like that. Because so far it's not too hot, not too cold. It's perfect weather to ride bicycle, yeah.
Tom Cooling, Cap 17, has made a steady start, powered along by a special photo attached to his bike.
How's it going?
Yeah, good. Yeah. Just hot on that last one.
Yeah.
Feels like riding a brick up a hill with a kit on it, but no, yeah, something.
How many coals is this today?
I think it's like the first proper one.
Yeah?
We did one that was about 1K high, and then this was, 17? Yeah. So, yeah, second, so...
Legs feeling good?
Not bad. I'm glad I held back at the start because everyone went off like a rocket and I was just a bit like, wow, this is like a grand fondo.
Very sensitive.
But hoping I'll see him again.
And can you tell me about this photo you've got on your handlebars?
Oh, that is my 9-month-old daughter who is the inspiration. It's her birthday. Well, no, not a birthday. It's a 9-month kind of birthday on Wednesday. So ideally getting back around then would be quite nice. So we'll see if the legs hold up.
So you've been glancing down there when it's been getting
tough.
Well,
I've been looking at it continually and not admiring the view because there's sweat pouring out my eyes. But it's the motivation.
Florian Imgrund and Dominic Engelke, Caps 102 A and B, are one of two pairs riding this year's TPR. Tom meets Florian as he waits for Dominic at the top of a climb.
Have you got different kind of rhythm on the climbs?
Yeah. When it got steep, then yes.
Do you think that might become quite challenging on this race where there's so many climbs?
No, I don't think so. I will wait and then it's fine.
You don't mind waiting around and looking at the views?
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. Drinking Coca-Cola.
And is that a friend or a...
Yeah, my friend. Yeah, we did a lot of holidays together on, for example, Mallorca. Yeah. So, yeah.
Is this the first time that you've raced as a pair?
Yeah. That's my first ultra year.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Do you anticipate any problems racing as a pair? Are there any challenges you're going to have to overcome apart from the different pace up hills?
No, I don't think so. I don't. For us, it's not a race. It's really more an adventure and a challenge and to come to Girona again.
Tom waits to speak to another rider as they complete this first tricky climb. Tim Budd, Cap 66.
I don't feel like I've practiced enough. Yeah.
What's taken you by surprise here, or is it kind of a combination of everything?
Oh, nothing's taken me by surprise. No. I knew it was going to be hard. I knew it was going to be hot. I think it's just the legs aren't responding well. I don't think I've slept very well for the past few days or even weeks. just thinking about it. So the cumulative effort has been quite a lot so far.
Have you picked up any kind of you know, tips from doing your research into these kind of things?
Don't stop. Carry on moving. Yeah. Forward progress. Yeah. And suffer better, apparently. Yeah. That's the key.
That all sounds about right, I would say. I wouldn't pay too much attention to how your legs feel after the first few hours.
No, it's going to take a few days to kind of get into the swing of things, I think. So
is that you've got suffer better kind of scrawled on your headset here as well. And what does that mean to you?
It means when you're suffering, when it's getting hard, you can always do better. So just carry on. There is always an option to quit, but it's just not choosing that option that's the key.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, trying not to choose that option.
On registration day, Sean Alaba, Cap 72, talked about riding his own race and the need to look after his body due to a health condition. Hannah spoke to Sean after his first few hours of riding at TPR.
I can see you've got a continuous glucose monitoring system on your arm.
Yep.
Is that do you have diabetes, or do you use it just to stay on track of your blood sugar?
I've got type 1 diabetes. Yeah, I've had it for 4.5 years now. So I've got multiple. This one's starting to fail a little bit. I only put it on yesterday, but it just doesn't work very well. Yeah. The adhesive's not very good, so when I get the chance, I'm going to change it. Hence why I've got, that's all just diabetic supplies in there.
So that's medication.
Because I know it's going to fail. It's meant to last. That's meant to last 7 days, and this one's meant to last 14. This one usually does. So this is my insulin pump. This bad boy talks with this bad boy, and then tells it what it should kind of do, and it freestyles a little bit. At the moment, it's given me 3 units of insulin to try and bring it back down, because I've just had 2 lots of Coca-Cola, which is probably stupid, but at the same time, I just can't be asked to eat. I just want to get on with it. You kind of just have to accept what your situation is and just get on with it.
The route at TPR is different every year, but always designed to tempt our riders with gravel shortcuts that may save them time if they're well prepared and make the right calls. Moritz Wurttemberg, Cap 54, has already found problems on the gravel, not helped, arguably, by the language on his phone being set to Flemish, a language Moritz does not speak or understand.
And have you had any kind of problems yet at all?
Yeah, I had the flat tyre in the first 50 kilometres, because I thought it's a great idea to take a gravel section right after the starting parkour.
You took the gravel shortcut?
Mm-hmm.
Did you enjoy it?
No.
Was it a bit rougher than you expected?
Yes. The dumb thing is, like, my phone's set in Flemish, and I don't speak Flemish. So when there's gravel, I don't know which sort of gravel on Camus. Like, I have no clue.
What, can we just back up there? Why is your phone set to Flemish?
The obvious question.
Everything sounds more funny when it's in Flemish. Like, suggestions, suggesties and stuff like that, it's just a bit, like, it's just fun. It's a bit more challenging, but why not?
I applaud that logic. I love it.
Belgian?
Mm-mm. I'm Swiss.
Are you trying to learn Flemish?
I tried, but I lost my Duolingo streak after 13 days, and then I gave up. But my phone's still on Flemish.
While some riders are taking a little time to find their racing pedals, things at the front of the race are fast and tight, as many predicted. Robin Gemperla, Cap number 1, has set the early pace, but he's closely followed by previous winner Robert Muller, Cap 60, and Anatole Naimi, Cap 44. Not far behind, Fiona Kolbinger is the race's fastest woman so far, and comfortably in the top 10 overall. Those frontrunners are already through Parkour 1 and on their way to the first control point in Espuy, a tiny village at the end of a dead-end valley.
Tom here from Control Car 1. We've found a massive supermarket just in this little town of La Ciudad-Gael, and it's just off the route where basically all of the riders seem to be coming along quite a major road in a flat section linking up two climbs, and it's just before Parkour 1. So we've stationed ourselves in the car park just outside the supermarket here, and we're basically just getting riders pouring in one after the other to resupply. It seems like a natural point to do that just before a tough parkour. We're getting a lot of good insight from a lot of riders here.
One of those riders is Caroline Buckland, who is on the hunt for a specific delicacy perfectly designed for an ingenious bike storage hack.
Hi, Caroline. How are you doing?
Yeah, all right, thanks.
We're just here at the supermarket. It looks like you're going in for some resupply.
I am. This is my first one.
Let's walk and talk then.
Yeah, yes, that's good.
Your first resupply?
It is, yeah.
Do you prefer to go and get like a big haul of stuff in one go then?
Yeah, I've got kind of two food pouches this time round, so I can just shove everything in there. I was having a think on the way. I was like, if I get loads of donuts, I can stick it on my aero bars. Uh-huh. And then just...
like a little dispenser.
Yeah, and just snack on those.
So that's your main objective here then in the supermarket, find the ring donuts.
Sandwiches, ring donuts, yeah. Bars, and Coke.
Yeah, I've never seen that done before, that technique. I'd love to see you pioneering it.
I actually nicked it from somebody else. I think I saw Cara Dixon do it. Ah. And I was like,
Nice.
That's a great shout.
And you rode this last year, right?
I did, yeah.
And how's this compared so far to last year?
It's a more chilled start, or maybe I'm just more prepared for it. Mm-hmm. But no, I feel all right. Yeah. I've only made one mistake where I went off route and had like about a 15-minute extra little loop.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just feel more prepared this year. So, Right. So far so good.
Nice. Yeah. And the next okay?
Nick's okay so far. Usually. Ask me in like 4 or 5 days.
Yeah. Awesome. All right, I'll let you go and do your shopping.
Yes, thank you.
See ya.
Rob Gardner, Cap 25.
I have no idea where I am, but everyone was going so fast on the start parkour. I think because they wanted to keep up with the police car, and I was like, I'm not doing 300 watts to keep up with the police car. I don't care. So I haven't seen many people since then. But yeah, it's quite good with that. I'm just happy with it.
Has that come from experience then? Have you kind of gone out too hard in the past?
I went a bit too hard last time. I hate day one. I absolutely hate day one. I don't like having people coming past me all the time because it takes you out of your bubble. Like, even though you know that it shouldn't, it still does. And then I always struggle with eating on day one. So I'm imagining in about 4 hours I'm going to feel very sick.
Why do you struggle with eating? In what way?
It always takes me a while to kind of get into the... They're kind of like just pure carb train, basically.
Yeah.
So like I start on it and then I feel a bit sick and then eventually I'll get back on it and I'll be okay. Yeah. But it's...
So you're easing yourself in here with... Is that some like gazpacho soup?
Gazpacho. Yeah. So good. Nice. It'll be very garlicky, but yeah. Fortunately no one around. So.
And then about 4 bags of Haribo.
Just 3.
3 bags of Haribo.
Take it easy.
Yeah.
Another rider to arrive and resupply is Paul Williams, Cap 84.
And, I've both succeeded and failed in Lost Dot races before.
Yeah, yeah.
And you learn as much from the failures as you do from the successes. Yeah. And so this time I'm usually over optimistic about what I can do each day.
Yeah.
So this time I've been a bit under optimistic and it's great. I'm an hour ahead of schedule. I feel good. I've booked a bed for the night, and because I'm going to the checkpoint and then I'm then turning around and coming back, and rather than doing the off-road section, if I'm feeling great tonight I can go to the checkpoint and come back to the hotel.
Yeah.
But if I feel a bit tired I'll just stop at the hotel and do the checkpoint first thing in the morning. So it's going according to plan.
Further ahead, the team in Control Car 2 are waiting for more riders to start making their way along the first parkour. Race coordinator David Eyre describes what they have waiting for them.
We are out on Parkour 1 at the moment. We've just seen Robin Gamperla and Anatole Naimi go through with Robert Muller in hot pursuit. So this is a short parkour. It's the first one since the start parkour earlier in the race. It'll take riders after they've just passed through La Soya de Gel. They turn off the main road and then they start heading onto much smaller, beautiful kind of balcony roads that lead them increasingly higher into the mountains as well. The end of this parkour is a point where the classic TPR incentives start to come in as well. So there is a point where the tarmac runs out and they then have the choice about whether to take the gravel down to Géry de la Salle, which is then on the road up to the first control point in Espoo. They could instead turn round, go back on themselves slightly, and then do a longer loop round as well with a little bit more climbing. So it'll be interesting to see if fortune favours the brave and who's the bravest of the first few riders to go through as well. We're expecting a good dose for further riders coming through over the next few hours as they make their way to that first control point. And at that point, they also have another choice to make. So they can, again, loop round if they want to stay on the road. Or they could be looking at one of a couple of gravel shortcuts there as well. So I think this could be a point where the race starts to fracture and split a little bit and people start to really try and take advantage of the opportunities that have been laid out for them.
Race reporter Stuart speaks to Molly Weaver, cap number 9, who continues to chase the fastest woman so far, Fiona Kolbinger.
Kind of finally relaxed in the last like half an hour.
Really?
Just super in my head.
Yeah.
So actually this morning I was like, God, I feel like shit. I'm not enjoying it. Then, yeah, kind of just in the last half an hour, I've just mellowed.
Good, good.
I feel like I've just got into a rhythm a bit now. I never like the start, anyway.
No.
It's my least favourite part.
Finding the groove a little bit.
Yeah. And you just get, like, even if you're good at riding your own ride, you get influenced by people around you.
Sure, sure.
That thing of, like, people passing you. You're passing people, you don't ride, like, really naturally. And you start to think about, like, oh, okay, like, whereabouts am I? And it just, yeah.
The race brain turns on.
Yeah. It's better just to, yeah, ride your ride.
Sure.
Yeah, you can only ride as hard as you can. And then if you go over that, well, you're going to be screwed tomorrow.
Niall Deans, cap 16, is riding well in familiar terrain after taking part in last year's race.
How's the day been so far?
It's been good. Feeling quite strong, which is nice. Not trying to overdo it, so yeah, happy with how I'm going. Grabbed a bunch of chocolate milk in Lesu Urigal.
I mean, we're on Parkour 1 now, right? So what are your plans from here on?
So I'm going to do the road after CP1 round to Velha. Okay. And I don't know, I'm going to try and get a hotel somewhere, I think, tonight. Last year I roughed it a lot, so feeling like a bit of rest would be good in a hotel.
Mid-afternoon on day 1 at TPR number 4, and those riders at the front continue to hurtle along as they head north towards Control Point 2 and the iconic Col d'Aspin. They'll need to cross the border into France for the first time before making the journey south again, back into Spain for Control Point 3. Meanwhile, on Parkour 1, Stuart catches up with George Dukes, cap 96, and the youngest rider in this year's Trans-Pyrénées race.
You're packed pretty light, and I think you have the distinction of being one of the very few people with rim brakes as well.
Yes, this bike's 1 year younger than me. It's 17, I'm 18.
You said this is your first race. What made you want to come and do Trans-Pyrénées?
Well, I'd done long rides before, like I did. I cycled from my house in Cambridge to Istanbul with my dad 2 years ago. And I just wanted to go faster and further.
It's evening now at TPR number 4, and darkness has fallen. While some riders will continue riding well into the early hours, others will look to eat, rest, and attempt to catch some sleep. As our team in Control Car 1 look to do the same, they run into Manuel Rudaz, cap 31, who's ridden brilliantly on day 1, maintaining a top 5 position to keep up with the pace of our leading riders.
And how's your day been today?
Very nice. Yeah, very nice. The first hours are always complicated, and then you arrive at the Parkour 1, it was so beautiful. I was happy to be there and just ride. There was nothing, nobody. Yeah, that was nice. This part, yeah, the Parkour 1.
And have you felt like you're in a race today? Have you got someone ahead that you're trying to chase?
There was the three stars in front of me, so I was happy to be there and to be not so far from them. So yeah, I will see. Maybe I have more more mas retraso so, plus de retard après le restaurant.
Oh, you'll be a bit slow. You'll be a bit slow after the food.
Yeah, but we'll see tomorrow morning at the coffee where the others are and how it's going.
Have you been watching the front of the race on the tracker?
Yeah. Just to be sure I was not lost, and to be it gives you more information about the routes from the others.
It's been a long, challenging first day at TPR number 4. Here's race director Hannah Larbalessier with a summary of how things stand.
It's been a really close race at the front today. We've seen Robin Gemperle set quite an early lead from the start and then lose some of that as he took some strange routing choices after parkour one. So at the top of the parkour, most riders look to be continuing on that same road over a gravel section before descending down to the valley. But for some reason, Robin backtracked along the parkour before taking a slightly more northerly gravel route, which definitely looked longer, and he looked to have lost a fair bit of time there. And his competitors, Anatole Naimi and Robert Muller, both really pulled back that gap. And now the top three of them are riding really quite closely together. Meanwhile, the women's field is riding really competitively too. We've got Fiona Kolbinger riding up towards the head of the race. I think she's been in the top 10 most of the day. She's got a few competitors not far back. So it's Molly Weaver, Julie von Grunigen, and Esther Lloyd, all within touching distance of her. Anything could happen overnight, and really I think their sleep strategy will play into how things are looking in the morning.
Join us for our next episode to find out what happens overnight. Will our leading riders continue to push forward and take similar route choices? Or will one of them have different ideas and a plan that sees them break away from the pack? As our riders wake to a new day and get used to life in the mountains, we'll bring you more rider stories from throughout the field. Remember, you can read Stuart's daily race reports from the road on the Lost Stop website and get regular updates across all our social media channels. Thanks to our race partners, Pedaled, Tailfin, Komoot, and Peak Design.